Good afternoon, folks. It's your host, Jeff Steger, and this is the Agriculture Show. It is a lovely Tuesday afternoon here on March, and it's a beautiful day today. It's like plus 7 or 8 outside, and so we're just grateful to see this insufferable long winter finally maybe coming to an end. I'm just going to play some stuff right away, and we'll be back with our guest today, but just offhand, I'll just say hello to Gord. Hi, Gord. How you doing?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you doing?
Is any better? I just couldn't stand it. It's just that good.
Well, you and me both. That's
okay.
Great.
We're going to play a few bits and pieces of stuff. And as you know, we like to have our guests bring along some music. And Gord has some great selections, and we look forward to talking to him about those musics before we play them. And just stay tuned. Keep it locked in. You're at CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM from our studios in beautiful uptown Waterloo at 108 King Street North, right across from a very Canadian Tim Hortons and right in the sub shop parking lot complex. We'll be back shortly.
Hi, I'm Subi Proud. This is my song, Can't Unpave the Parking Lot, on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. Gravel on County Road 9, in the heart of the fields and fresh air. Thought I left my worries behind, till I saw it standing there, larger than life development sign. Cast a shadow on the autumn corn, the farm at the finish line. Another subdivision's born. We can't pave the parking lot. Paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Take better care what we got. Can't unpave the behind brings me back to my senses, overwhelmed by this moment of truth. We bulldozed, stripped, and left it defenseless. We're turning trees into white picket fences. There's gotta be more we can do. We can't pay the parking lot. Paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Take better care what we got. Can't unpay the parking lot. Got home turned on the CBC. There was a victory staring back at me. Thousands of people showed up, cause they cared. A piece of heaven had been spared. We can pay the parking lot. Paradise can't be an afterthought. Pay too high a price for what we buy. Better care what we got. Take better care what we got. Can't unpave the parking lot. Rubber meets gravel on County Road 9, in the heart of the fields and fresh air.
This is Mark Reeser. You are listening to CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. The Agricultural Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Federation represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
Mobilizing the youth of today, educating them in a better way, training so they won't go astray. Hear what me say, yeah. Give your head to clearer thinking, loyal heart, got to be persevering. Do the Lord a service, make your hands willing, your health for better living.
4-H
for community and country.
4-H
respond to food security.
4-H
I gotta make your best better. Let us get together.
4-H.
All right. I hope you enjoyed our little promos at the start. That was Sue B. Proud is a local artist, and she had volunteered to put together a little song for us. I said, that's great. And she very kindly did a little promo for us. And you heard Mark Reeser, our director from the area, and something from 4-H, which is courtesy of John Hammond, who is a leader in the 4-H scene here in Waterloo. Thanks for listening in, folks. This is episode number 74. Today's date is March 11th, 2014 already. Oh, my. I'd like to introduce my guest today, folks. Just delighted. It's Gord Grant. Hi, Gord.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
I'm lovely. And I want to just thank you for coming out. You were so important at the beginning of this initiative for the radio show. You very kindly spent some time and money and effort to come out and get us started. I've still got some of those promos you did, and we'll get another one today. So I just want our listeners to know that today it's Gord's in the studio, and it's been 3 years. Maybe you were in last January, like not this past January, the one before.
Yeah, I think you're over the 2 year mark.
Yeah.
By a couple of months now. Yeah, it seemed. I think it was a January.
Yeah. I'm glad you could find time to do this today. You get to be the guest today. Other times you were almost like the co-host, but we're going to have a chance to have a little bit more about what you do and where you live and all the things you've done in your life, and then we'll talk about, of course, our favorite topic here is agriculture, and you're well-suited, clearly, to talk about these things. So you should just tell us, Gord, our listeners, just let's get reacquainted. You're living in... Where are you living now?
I'm living in beautiful suburban Drayton, Jeff. Ah. So not right downtown or anything, and not in the rich side of town, but sort of a middle-class suburban part of Drayton. Drayton, for those folks that don't get out of town much, would be to the northwest of Waterloo here, about 35, 40 minutes, depending on whether you're driving sanely or less so.
Good location, Drayton. I think many of our listeners here in the metropolitan area of Kitchener-Waterloo, Cambridge would recognize Drayton as where the festival is. And,
that's right, home of the Drayton Festival Theater, right? So get your tickets soon. Come on up. We got a new restaurant. New restaurant's opened up.
Yeah.
So we're just a-booming, right? We've had a new condominium go up, a whole four stories. So just like Waterloo, we're going up. But not quite as far.
Must be quite a busy place in the summertime when the festival's open.
Oh, it is. It is. The busloads come in, and a lot of people come into the campgrounds at Conestoga Lake, which is just a few miles down the road, so yeah, where the dam is there. So I think there's got to be maybe 300, 600 cottages out there. So people don't realize it, but that's quite a...
It's a lot.
There's a lot of cottages in around Lake Conestoga. It was... It's been there since, it's as old as I am. It's been there since 1957 there. I just gave it up, didn't I?
You did so.
So, I'll look much younger on your picture on the website there. Well, Sound FM, right?
If we're going to do our years in dam time, I'm the same vintage as a Shandam, I understand, which is 1954.
Oh, all right. Also a good year.
Yeah, it's
and
very good.
And the dam's
year.
Still there, right?
That's
so
true.
These are all good signs, Jeff.
we're going to have a lot of fun with this, Gordon. I just want to tell our listeners, of course, you know, we'd like to bring along some music from our guests, so we'll look forward to chatting about that and we hit into our second break here. But Gord, tell us some more about yourself. You've Tell us what you're doing now, then tell us how you got there. You had numerous jobs in government.
Currently I'm gainfully employed as a member service rep for Ontario Federation of Agriculture, and that's the Ontario's biggest farm lobby group, and 37,000 members and supporters, and I have the pleasure to cover Waterloo, Wellington, Dufferin, and I'll put it in that order since we're in Waterloo today.
very thoughtful.
Sometimes when I get up in Wellington, I change it, or I'm going to a Dufferin Federation meeting this evening, and so I'll be the rep from Dufferin, Waterloo, Wellington. So, but it's always an interesting job. There's the member service reps work closely with federations, and that's how I've come to know you, Jeff, and a great group to work with at Waterloo. And we're also there to try to broker, problem solve on issues where we can direct a farm member in the right direction and maybe save them a lot of frustration or help them out of a situation. Certainly there's no end of things that can kind of go amiss in farming these days. Bylaws can be made without consideration for the farm aspect because we aren't as much of the population as we used to be. So the good people that make laws, sometimes there's oversight, or there isn't the oversight that there should be as what the impact's going to be on rural Ontario's largest industries. So I guess I'll have been at it. Might even be, I think, 10 years by the end of the week in the current position. I'd come to it to the position having had about 7 or 8 years involved with a honey production and retail business with a lot of other contracts cobbled onto it. So I'd worked in conjunction with we had the honey business, and then I did some work with the Ontario Soil and Crop Improvement Association. Before that, I did a stint with the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture Food, and at the time that I left Rural Affairs, I started when it was just Ontario Ministry of Ag and Food, but left after they added the Rural Affairs. I don't know. I didn't get into trouble, and it had nothing to do with that. And that was about a 10-year stint, working on different things from the apiary or the beekeeping program. The province still has a crew of people that get out and provide inspection work and that sort of thing to make sure that particularly infectious diseases don't get out of hand, and to monitor a lot of things that are happening in the beekeeping field very quickly. That's an industry that's changed more in the last 20 years than it did the 100 years before that.
Is that right?
Easily.
Wow.
As well, while I worked for the ministry, I had a great opportunity to work with the Environmental Farm Plan. And right at the workshop level, I was out in the field, worked with a lot of good people from Soil and Crop that conducted workshops. And the Environmental Farm Plan, of course, is a kind of very comprehensive sort of assessment that every farmer can do of his farm as to what environmental risks are and what practical things it can put into place to minimize the risk. And that's been ongoing since 1994 in some iteration or another. Right?
Yeah, it continues on. It's been under different names, but that program has existed, I think, for 20 years under various different descriptions.
That's right.
One of the longest running programs.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the government, federal level, and provincial.
And we know it was successful because it's been copied in many other parts of North America and the world, right? And in a lot of cases they tailored it off. So that was a really fulfilling thing to work with as a civil servant, and I enjoyed that. Also enjoyed getting out of the civil service, too. There's nothing like sort of getting your hands dirty in some kind of food production aspect, right? I just couldn't resist that itch. So, and before that, I had worked with the beekeeping industry, and before that, actually, way back, my grandfather was instrumental in, I think he was the first Funk's seed associate, and prior to that, he had a choice. I can remember at the supper table, Sunday supper table, he'd talk about he was either going to do pigs or he was going to go down and talk to these Funk brothers in the States about seed corn. The seed corn thing looked interesting. So he chose right, I think, as far as the family's fortunes over the years. So
where was home?
It was down in Essex County, so this time of year I get kind of eager to put some Wellington boots on and go out and get them stuck in some heavy clay, but you can't find clay as heavy up here as you can down in the Brookston clay of Essex County. So just down from the seed plant, almost smack dab in the middle of Essex County, in what used to be a swamp, right? So,
Are there still family members living in the area, or are they farming? Or
they're pretty much dispersed, and nobody's actively farming anymore. I mean, our family's gone the way of many families.
I agree.
You know, it was the jump into succession and farm business is challenging at best, and some folks make it, and some families just aren't destined to go that way. So,
That's true.
You make the best of it. I feel that I've been really fortunate to keep an association with agriculture and just about everything that I've done. So,
I think so. And you know, you had a hands-on experience as you had your own honey business for a while too.
Yeah.
So you're not too far away from agriculture for sure. So. Well, this is good news, Gord. Maybe we can get some more about your history of when and where you've been and what you've done. There's a long time. Lots of distance between Chatham and where you're living now in Drayton. You have a family. How many children do you have?
Oh, we've got a couple of kids that are getting up there. A young man just down the road goes to Wilfrid Laurier and chooses to stay there, and a daughter that's just a year or two away from getting out of high school. So they grow up fast on you and head off in different directions, and I don't know if our experience will be the same as a lot of other families, and maybe they'll come back for a while again or not.
Yeah. So I'm that happens too.
We're wrestling with whether to finish that last room in the basement. Is that a good idea or not a good idea? Right. So I think we'd be glad to have him back if he doesn't go immediately on to another career either way. So
It just occurred to me, you know, we had talked before, and tell our listeners about your hobby. You like to go birding, I think, once a year down in Peely Park, right?
Well, actually, it's a migration of sorts.
Okay. You tell us, sorry, because I always
say it's a migration. My wife comes from a very large family, so she has eight other brothers and sisters. So we all, kind of like the monarchs, migrate down in August to Peely Island. We have my sister-in-law there has the cottage rental business that is on the furthest south that you can get on Peely Island, and she's kind of locked in with conservation property around her, so it's a beautiful spot, the families all sort of, the clan comes in and different contingents with, you know, four and five at a time, and usually we get about five or six of the brothers and sisters and their families in, and we get to spend a week there, and because we get along and we can pack in pretty tight, it all works pretty good. So for as long as we can make that last, that's kind of our chance to get away from everything for a year. We do have some members, some OFA members on the island, so I made sure to take I usually make sure to take about a half dozen signs down me if they're looking a little tattered. If I'm biking around the island, which is a good way to get around the island, I can freshen up some of the OFA signs too. But just for the record, I don't write off any of this as a business expense. This is all under my own steam.
Well, it's often things in life are like that. A little bit of everything. You hope that you get some. Everything is a combination of some volunteerism, basically making the extra effort, versus when you're actually getting paid for something and you have to do it. So congratulations on doing that. That's what makes the world go round. Hey, you want to tell us about some of the music you got along with us? Well, I think we'll play one or two, or one anyway, and then we'll come back and talk some more about agriculture and our favorite things here. I've got them all four on my list here, and the first one's kind of long. Do you want to play that one first, or you think?
Why don't we leave that?
Okay.
Because there's a method to the madness of that, and
all
that's
right.
That's a bit of an audio montage. How about, you got me thinking about Peely Island. How about can we cue up Echo Beach and go with
Echo
that?
Echo Beach, that's a great song.
Yeah, and so for today's theme, I had a plan here, and it. Has to do with the time that this music was maybe in the top 100. So, we'll get to the the reason for the plan behind the music. But
okay.
Martha and the Muffins, yep. Echo Beach.
I remember that. Okay, folks, we'll play it. We'll be back. And my guest today is Gord Grant. And we're going to talk about agriculture and what kind of things Gord's been doing. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark Wales from the Ontario Federation of Agriculture. You're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo.
Well, that's a familiar voice, Gord. That's the Mark Wales, and he is also this year the president of the Federation of Agriculture.
Yes, he's been president for a couple of years now.
Yeah,
he's probably got himself well into the position, knows what he's doing.
And all that good stuff.
Right.
Tell us about Echo Beach. How come you like Echo Beach so much? I love this song myself.
Oh, it was just... It takes me back to the particular time period that I wanted to go back to today,
yeah.
Jeff. So, and it was one of those top songs. It played, there was a summer or two there where it was, you heard it everywhere you went.
Yep.
And, yeah.
Did they, was there other tunes at the Martha and the Muffins, I got one too. It's called Black Something and White Something. What the heck was that called? I don't know if I have my playlist up.
I'm not sure. I would have to Google that. Right.
Okay.
I didn't pick this one because I'm a huge Martha and the Muffins fan. I just there's just some songs that are kind of remind you of a particular time back when, and that was one of those. And I think the chance of sunshine and that sort of stuff today just got me thinking about.
Yeah, it's a good choice. It's funny,
beach weather.
Most people do remember one song, even though an artist may do several. And
yeah.
But Echo Beach, great selection there. Once again, folks, thanks for coming back to listen to our show. Keep it locked in there. We're going to talk some more about agriculture. And today's guest is Gord Grant, lives in Drayton, and is a member service representative for the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, serving Waterloo, Wellington, and Dufferin.
Very good. Right order and everything, Jeff.
Awesome. Sometimes my memory works. I just think it's just great when that happens. We had a little chance, Gord, to talk a little bit about your home and where you call home now and where you call home when you're born and raised and the like. Touch a little bit about on what you do at the federation level. But if I would put in a framework that typically all farm organizations have people available to help members in their own zone or local area either develop policy or have working on something. So there's a whole cadre of folks like yourself who provide that valuable connection between the policymakers at the heads of organizations and the members of that organization. Is that kind of a fair analogy? Would that be
absolutely? It's actually, I think for some reason I thought I needed to count up the number. We've got 21. Regionally placed staff across the province, and we're other farm commodity organizations, others have somewhat similar structures, but we're the only what we call general farm organization that can offer staff right across the province, and they all cover 2, 3, sometimes even 4 counties, depending on the number of members that occur in each county.
Mm-hmm.
It is a really fascinating job in that every area has its own unique culture and issues that might be going on at any particular time.
Mm-hmm.
Even across to Waterloo, Wellington, and Dufferin, there can be some pretty substantial cultural differences,
mm-hmm.
right? Past practices and things that really tend to kind of create unique problems that, might occur in Dufferin but won't occur in Waterloo, right?
Mm-hmm.
The past practices that have been taken on land use are dramatically different between, say, Waterloo, the region of Waterloo, and Dufferin, right? Dufferin, County of Dufferin, is working on its very first county official plan.
Official plan, yeah, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Region of Waterloo's had a plan for... Can you remember a time when they didn't, right?
Well, I 1973 when regional government came in would probably be what I would pick there. And it just reflects the different pressures. So Waterloo County had in the center of it a large metropolitan area. So it became clear sooner that you had to have a plan.
Yep.
Whereas Dufferin is emerging now from just strictly rural to a larger role, and so now is the appropriate time for their official plan. But certainly, you're right. It's a different perspective, and what each little area's got its own little
exactly, and that and that's played out right in that particular incident. I mean, you can see it dramatically, sort of in the. There was a time back in the 90s when we thought, the retiring farmer should have a little corner lot, and they actually called them retirement severances. That seemed like a great idea until I think the average was something like farmers were staying there less than 3 years on average, and then somebody who had no connection to farms or farmings would take over, and it wasn't long before every time the manure spreader went out or something happened that was noisy or smelly or dusty, right, there were complaints. And if you look across Waterloo, Wellington, Dufferin, I can't remember what the there have been land use planners have done studies, and I think Waterloo had something like less than a half a severance per 1,000 acres of agricultural land, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you get up into Dufferin, and I don't know. I think it's, you know, it's closer to about 2 severances that occur on every 1,000 acres of what's called prime farmland, right?
Okay.
And so that's a statistic that won't mean much to the audience, but what, you know, what it does mean, in fact, is that the more severances you've got with non-farm, the more potential conflict tends to occur, right, between neighbors and on issues. And farmers even are into, farmers and people putting up lots in agricultural areas are subject to the minimum distance separation. So that's the game you have to play, where you're drawing circles based on, well, how big is this farm expansion going to be? How many animals? What type of animals? Is it going to be really stinky manure or a fine, fresh dairy manure, right? Dairy is usually the best, and I think, you know, pigs are kind of down the line a little ways. Everybody was getting excited about large pig barns there a few years back. Not the smell of money for most people.
Right.
But, I mean, that's regulated, so having the farmscape sort of fragmented with non-farm can actually really slow up the development of agriculture as we know it today, the larger sort of production units that tend to be the direction that people are headed, that are investing in livestock in a big way.
So there's two parts to the kind of that policy issue of on-farm severances. There certainly is a policy formation, and you're right in the middle of that. There's also part of it is that you know, you have the chance from time to time to help individual members with individual things, like the you know, you'd have someone from say, Gordon, what about this year on-farm severance, and you would have the chance to tell them the policy, but you could. There's also a chance that, and from time to time, you might have a chance to hear the specifics and say, well, to do it right, you got to do these step-by-step things.
That's right. You know, we connect them. We connect them to the information that they need.
Yeah.
Right. And quite often, if somebody's going forward with a new structure, in today's world, sometimes you need to go to get professional advice on land use planning and legal advice. Right. In the case where it's a nuisance thing, quite often we're pretty well connected with the OMAFRA engineer who has the mediation skills to deal with the. To deal with what's called normal farm practices squabbles, right? So we do have government staff that are actually trained, and some legislation, the Farm and Food Production Protection Act, right? The FFPPA was actually instituted because of sort of non-farm farm squabbles, and to try to mediate a lot of stuff to keep these things out of civil action and try to repair. Or prevent damage to the farm communities and repair damage if it does get done without a whole lot of expense and lawyers and bad will that can persist for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
That's good work, and it's lots to do. Let's play another song, and we'll come back talk some more about WFA and OFA and things.
Let's take a long break and go with that long one.
You want to do that? Okay.
Yeah.
You want to tell us what it is before or after?
I'm just trying to take people back to a very specific time. So for our listeners here, you try to put the clues together and figure about exactly what year and maybe even what time of year we're going back to.
Okay. Well, with that explanation, we're going to have to play this one. So we'll be back shortly. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM, episode number 74 on March 11th of 2014. Guest today is Gord Grant. We'll be right back.
Canada's good old Canadian hospitality makes flights so good, You won't want to get off.
Even lovers need a holiday. Far away from each other.
The killing of northern Israel were the last straw. Moshe Aarons, the Israeli ambassador to Washington, said today on the program This Week with David Brinkley that this operation would eliminate the problem.
Hold me now. It's hard for me to say I'm sorry.
We have ceased to be a nation in retreat.
Victory in the Falklands changed Margaret Thatcher's fortunes. Her popularity went from record lows before the conflict to a landslide election win in 1983.
I just want you to stay.
Let us be aware that while they preach the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth, they are the focus of evil in the modern world.
I'll promise to.
So in your discussions of the nuclear freeze proposals, I urge you to beware the temptation of pride, the temptation of blithely declaring yourselves above it all, and label both sides equally at fault, to ignore the facts of history and the aggressive impulses of an evil empire, to simply call the arms race a giant misunderstanding, and thereby remove yourself from the struggle between right and wrong and good and evil.
We have a problem. Something may be wrong in Regular One. We've been ordered to investigate.
It is our intention to introduce the Genesis device into a pre-selected area of a lifeless space body, a moon or other dead form, instantaneously causing what we call the Genesis effect. Matter is reorganized with life-generating results.
What if this thing we use where life already existed?
It would destroy such life.
In Ottawa, the welcome was loud and clear. 41 guns on Parliament Hill blasted a salute to the royal arrival. The booming sign of approval was an echo of what was heard in Britain today. Guns roared, bells rang, people cheered. And to the surprise of waiting crowds in London, the day-old prince went home. Eve Savory reports.
However, be recognized that no constitution, no charter of rights and freedoms, no sharing of powers can be a substitute for the willingness to share the risks and grandeur of the Canadian adventure. Without that collective act of the will, our constitution would be a dead letter, and our country would wither away. It's true that our will to live together has sometimes appeared to be in deep hibernation, but it is there nevertheless, alive and tenacious, in the hearts of Canadians of every province and territory. I wish simply that the bringing home of our Constitution marks the end of a long winter, the breaking up of the ice jams, and the beginning of a new spring.
Wouldn't want to be swept away, far away from the one.
celebrating today is not so much the completion of our task, but the renewal of our hope. Not so much an ending, but a fresh beginning. Let us celebrate the renewal and patriation of our Constitution. But let us put our faith first and foremost in the people of Canada, who will breathe life into it. It's in that spirit of faith and of confidence that I join with Canadians everywhere in sharing this day of national achievement. It is in their name, Your Majesty, that I now invite you, the Queen of Canada, to give solemn proclamation to our new Constitution.
The Prime Minister's speech completed, a strong speech calling on Canadians to celebrate, but also pointing out to Quebecers that he understands their dilemma at a time when their government does not agree with the package that is being proclaimed into law today. The Queen will now head towards the desk where the actual signing will take place, and Barbara, it's starting to rain very gently.
Hi, this is Sean Dunnett from Dumfries Service Company. You're listening to The Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 103, Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, Gord. My goodness, you were busy making up that montage.
Jeff, what year was it? What month was it? What year was Chicago...
Right.
Have to say I'm sorry at every one of the high school dances. Maybe you danced at it. I don't know. My apologies to people for busting that all apart. When did the Constitution come home? When did Maggie Thatcher beat those Argentinians at the Falklands? When was Prince William born?
This is all the same year, right?
It's all the same year, okay. And I think pretty close to the same month, Star Trek, Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And Reagan's famous evil empire speech.
Well, I'll take a guess out of here quick because it just so happens that the Constitution, this is the anniversary that was last year, which was 2013. So it was either 40 or 50 years. How many years was it?
I was shooting for June of 1982.
82, okay.
Right.
So.
As you heard, it was Prime Minister Trudeau in power then.
Yeah.
And there's an Essex County connection here. There was a certain minister that wore a green Stetson.
Yes, I remember.
Who was the Minister of Agriculture.
Yeah.
Eugene Whelan. So, and I kind of think probably sometime that spring, Pierre Trudeau was probably just beginning a friendship with a Soviet representative to Canada, Mr. Yakovlev, right? And I thought it was... that's why I had to put in this business with Ronald Reagan rattling those, you know, the chains there on the evil empire thing, because at the same time that was happening, there's kind of a weird agricultural connection to what turned out to be the beginning of... Yakovlev, I guess, got to be friends with... Pierre Trudeau, right? And then Yakovlev had a friend in the Politburo, Mikhail Gorbachev,
yes,
who was an ag minister, who started out with an agriculture focus, and he got to know Eugene Whelan. And apparently, the opening up of the Soviet Empire all started with a walk down a farm lane on Whelan's farm, with Yakovlev and Gorbachev, because they were out of earshot of everybody that was monitoring, and they could all have an honest discussion about what they were thinking and where they thought they should be going without being interfered with. So that was one of the reasons I played it. But, yes, so June 1982, and the reason that I did it, right, I don't know if you're a political guy and you watch CBC and you watch Power and Politics.
I have an interest in all those things. Go ahead. Okay. Not watching that particular program. But.
Okay. But anyway, they have a pollster on, and he always comes in and talks about a particular number. So my number today, right, is 1 billion, right? And what 1 billion has to do with June of 1982 is about pretty close to 1 billion seconds have gone by since June of 1982,
wow.
Right? And I've been fixated on the number 1 billion
yep.
because you see it bounced around so much anymore. Either in large amounts, right, a billion, or even more importantly, in very small amounts. Like, what's one part per billion, right?
Yeah.
So that got me thinking, well, I don't have any Olympic-sized swimming pools. My bank account's nowhere near a billion. I trust yours isn't either, Jeff, you know, in terms of a billion. Not yet, right?
No.
And maybe not anytime soon. So I thought, what have we both shared a billion of? And we've both shared a billion of seconds, and hopefully good health and clean living, we'll maybe see almost another billion, right?
Yeah, that's true.
It's possible. So that's why I thought I'd focus on a billion, because more and more you see that people talking about billions or parts per billions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Now, is it true that 1 billion to one is the same as a drop of water in a swimming pool?
You see, and that's why I didn't figure it out, right?
Okay.
Because that means nothing to me, right?
Okay.
But when I think back, all the things that have gone on, right in the last billion seconds,
Yes, you know,
I think all of us, if they've been around for a little while, can appreciate, you know, if it's 1 second... You know, since June of 1982, right?
Yeah.
That's a very, very tiny amount, right? So that's kind of why I went there. And part of it was I've been pondering this, you know, what's a part per billion or a microgram per liter and all these tiny, tiny amounts, because for the last couple of years, you know, it keeps cropping up, right?
Yeah.
Somebody almost ruined my Saturday morning tea because I was watching a program that sort of said, oh, there's pesticides in all these teas, except fortunately for the brand that we buy, right? have been detected, right? And so then you get into the discussion of, well, how much has been detected? And you come back to talking about parts per million, right?
Mm-hmm.
In so many ways. Like, I mean, it came up again earlier this year in, you know, people buy organic, but oh my goodness, you know, we're finding stuff, right? Again, parts per billion,
mm-hmm.
right? you know, so it's, I wanted to play on this just to get an idea for this.
Yeah.
How small is this part per billion? Because sometimes, you know, maybe it's not that horribly important in parts per billion, right? But sometimes it is, right? I can think we do have chemistry now that's extremely effective, right? Really safe for us mammals, right? But really, really hot on insect things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now measured in 50, 60, maybe 100 parts per billion. And I can remember when I was first involved in OMAFRI, we dealt with issues of pesticide poisoning and stuff like that. We weren't talking in parts per billion, right?
No, it was much more.
We were up a whole other, whole upper scale, maybe parts per million, right? So sometimes this parts per million is important. Sometimes it's less important, right? And certainly, I'm not too worried about my tea because they can find something at that level so much, even though I do drink the right tea that has none in it, right? But I think as we get larger, so our, you know, the population back in 1982, Jeff, was, 4.6 billion people on the planet?
Okay.
And we're all the way up to 7.2 billion.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think we're going to counter this time and time again, where we have to start getting a little, start thinking a little more about what the media tells us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And do they give us numbers? And what do these numbers mean? And as a society, I think we kind of have to think more and more about what does a part per billion mean?
Yes.
Is it something that I need to be concerned about? Right? Is this the unfortunate nature of populations that we're kind of all in the same pool together, all sort of in the same soup of civilization, to use that kind of term? How do we minimize that ecological footprint? Because if we can measure that ecological footprint down to parts per billion, mm-hmm. we know we're always going to find one.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So with this media, and that means we need to get encourage people to get their education in math and sciences to know what they mean in absolute terms, and then you have to do some study in ethics and so on to do what the meaning of it is.
Well, I just think you have to always have your critical thinking hat on anymore.
And of course,
even when you think you can relax, put your feet up, enjoy your cup of tea,
yeah.
right? You have to take this stuff in. You have to take it with a grain of salt, but not too much salt, because we've got a lot of parts per million of salt in a lot of our municipal water supply, so we want to be careful about that.
Today right? It's sugar.
And it's sugar. Recently it's sugar. Yeah, the University of Waterloo professors that have been following artificial sweeteners that we don't get calories out of it because they don't stay with us long, right? So it's been found to be a really good way to sort of trace.
I saw that too.
Yeah.
I was just getting back to today. I saw in the headlines that sugar, the plain old white sugar is the bad stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's the bad stuff. If you really wanted to put your level of intakes of sugars down to appropriate level, it's almost impossible because sugar is added to so many products. You wouldn't think, like, ketchup's got sugar in it, you know.
Yes. Just drink the water. But yeah. be conscious, depending on where you are and where the supply is coming from, that you might be getting artificial sweetener in your water as well, too, because it's out there, and the researchers have traced the artificial stuff down through the Grand River system. And so we have a lot of things, sort of the super civilization sort of things that we're using, and things that we really have to explore. That's one where I don't know if anybody's done had a look at sort of, well, if we're having that much artificial sweetener get out into the river systems, what is the impact on aquatics and that sort of thing? So, it's life is more complicated. I don't know if it needs to be more scary.
So the message I'm getting just offhand is certainly not to get too wound up about things. It needs to be whatever you're quoting, whatever numbers and whatever it's happening, it needs to be put in context.
Absolutely, and an understanding, our ability to detect stuff, parts per billion, billion.
Doesn't mean it's a lethal dose or something.
Were we happier when we could only find it in parts per million?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and farther back, you only worried about concentrations if you could smell it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Which is
Or see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, depending on the particular thing, could be a bad thing or maybe not. Right. Yeah, nature's not benign either. Mm-hmm. Right. I can remember a conversation I've had while on the job here with a geologist that was doing a little work through our area, looking at particular mineral resources. And her comment was, you'd be surprised at what the lead levels are in some of our drilled wells, not in the Waterloo area, but in one of the other areas, mm-hmm. Because there are naturally high levels of things like lead, right?
That's true.
It isn't always man that gets in there and monkeys things, right? Nature provides a certain amount of challenges as well, too, in terms of the purity of things.
Pretty reasonable when you think of it.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, not all water springs out the same.
That's
even
right.
Good waters can have characteristics that, even waters that are all safe, quote unquote, have different noticeable characteristics that people don't care for, color,
exactly,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's good words, and that's pretty neat how you, the soup of civilization is going through the music into this explanation. It covers a lot of territory.
Yeah, and I'm a little nervous about doing this, Jeff. I don't want to depress people.
No, but you're brave.
I don't want to depress
awesome.
People.
This right. makes for great radio. We're having this is the best thing going.
And people might get aggravated about it, but it's just my experience in life is that and when I read things like this, I don't know if people understand the how finely we have gotten our ability to detect things out in the environment, right? And I think it's a challenge. I think we take a hopeful look at this and we say, well, let's take this challenge, and in the next billion seconds that we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see if we can do something about that for those things that are, you know, really a true hazard for us and for the organisms that we rely on.
That's good. I like that, Gord. That's good stuff. Well, you have me thinking about this million seconds since 1982. That's good.
Billion. Kind of interesting. 1 billion.
Billion seconds. Let's play another song, and we'll come back and do some more stuff with our show today. What would be... there's two other songs you brought along, Gord. Which one shall we play next?
Let's stay Canadian. Let's go with Bruce Coburn.
All right. This is called The Trouble with Normal.
Exactly.
Okay. Folks, it's episode 74, and we'll be right back. It's a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in Uptown Waterloo on March 12th. I think it's March the 12th of 2014. Okay.
This is Gord Grant from Ontario Federation of Agriculture. You are listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farm producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
And that's what we do here, folks, and thanks, Gord, for doing that. That's great. So we're in the last section of our program. I can't believe we've almost motored through an hour here, so we're doing really good. Let's just review what we did today and add in any other little bits and pieces we want to. So right off the bat, we sat down, we talked a little bit about, you know, where you're living and what you're doing and where our home was and all of the history, and that was good fun. And then we talked a little bit about some of the issues. And we talked about, you know, how difficult it can be with things like land use planning and how you try to help an individual, and then there's the policy part of it. But that's, you know, just the kind of what it's like day to day in doing stuff. And then we talked about something, you know, that you've noticed that I guess basically is, you know, like those new posters are, keep calm, take another breath. You know, like all these numbers kicking around, a billion this and danger, yeah, and all that stuff, just got to be put into perspective.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Always have to put it in perspective. I guess we're all in this soup together, and, you know, let's do what we can to make sure it's not harmful soup, but at the same time, let's not, worry about some of the things that we might be able to find when we go looking for it, right?
Pretty close. Well, and there's some other topics that our urban listeners might be interested in. I mean, I think they get zoning and stuff like that, and, you know, whether the choice is to have a bunch of houses around the countryside. But there's, you know, they live in town. I think there's a lot of things that you do in your job capacity that I think people, our urban listeners, would be kind of interested in. You know, you've got to deal with production stuff. You had mentioned, you know, all the things that hit the headlines nowadays got to come down to the farmer at some point and what they're going to do about it. And you're kind of like that bridge in between there. Any topics? I'm kind of dodging around. I'm just looking for other topics.
We got enough material for another show if I had to itemize all the stuff you can get into, right?
Oh, I know. That's the thing.
You know, out on the concessions, dealing with the membership that we have, some great people, some interesting characters, some nasty dogs, some friendly dogs.
Yeah. I got one for you. What's one of the more interesting comments you've heard from someone about farmers? Have you met, do people still believe if you crank the cow's tail and milk comes out?
Well, because my member, the people I work with day to day are the farmers. Yeah. Sometimes the jokes do go the other way, but, and I'm trying to think back. I mean, as a kid, we used to have people come across from Detroit and think some fairly ridiculous things. But and some of that was, we often blamed it on the source of nationality, but as opposed to urban versus rural. But I'm not sure what it is. But nothing comes of mind that's repeatable, right?
Yeah.
For a show in a mid afternoon on a Tuesday, Jeff.
it's just what I'm looking at, just from those kind of interesting little things that our listeners might be kind of be charmed by, with about what it's like to be a member service representative for a farm group in the Waterloo region here. You know, every issue's unique and different compared, somewhat the same but somewhat different, whether it's land use planning and other places, similar to how we've had a regional plan for 50 years and Dufferin only getting it now. Yeah. Just going back to what you're saying about, it's all a matter of how much is a billion. Is that what advice can you give to our urban listeners that, you know, when you read these headlines about agriculture or farmers or something, I think what you're saying is just take it easy and find out first before you get on that wave and think that you're right or wrong?
Well, there's always a lot of background, and in today's media, there is either not the expertise to do the analysis, right? And I'm not blaming the media for that. You know, we've seen what's happened to the media over the last few years. It's not a good place to be. People, you know, people don't have the luxury of time. They've got to have stories in by 4 or by 3 or by 6, and they got to get 2 or 3 stories in. So I can't blame them that they don't. They don't have the knowledge necessarily to go and present you with all the facts. You see it all the time with statistics, right?
Mm-hmm.
A statistic that'll be trotted out that, you know, anybody that's had statistics 101 will say, well, that was meaningless because you didn't give me this, you know, about that particular statement.
Yeah, right? They have to frame
it. And really, when you start talking about, you know, things like your tea and residues and stuff like that, yeah, you need to understand things. You know, if a particular material doesn't have an established maximum threshold level, then it defaults to a very low one by default,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so there are all kinds of nuances that... and places that where you can the article might overstate, right? Really, what's going on? But that's not always the case either,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It isn't. You know, I'm not trying to take sides on this issue. It's just I sort of see things and I say, well, I don't know how to respond to this story because they haven't told me. You know, the five right. other things that I need to know as to whether I need to be concerned.
Exactly, and that's a good point.
And the world is, and it's not just on ag issues. You see it all the time on other issues, all the time.
You should tell us about this last song, because we're almost the end of our stuff here. And it was Eye of the Tiger. Well, that's been around for a long time, eh?
Yeah, no big connection with that. Actually, I had more connection with the Bruce Coburn one because that was, I think I got the first Bruce Coburn record from a music teacher. He didn't like that kind of music, so he gave it to me in yep. public school. And later on, I had a niece who used to, Bruce Coburn in about that era, also had a hit that I think everybody would recognize as Rocket Launcher, right?
What's that song, The Trouble with Normal? I don't... why'd you pick that one again? I
picked that one because that came from the early 80s. Right. Bruce Coburn had a lot of CanCon airplay back then, right?
Okay. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And as I say, he really hit mainstream with If I Had a Rocket Launcher. And,
yeah.
and my niece, who was very young at the time, rephrased that, If I Had a Rocking Lawn Chair, right?
Yeah.
So that one always sticks in my head. So I don't think that Bruce meant it that way.
Thank goodness.
But
for
there you go
today.
With a five-year-old's interpretation of lyrics.
Yeah, yeah, right? Rocking Lawn Chair.
In my hearing these days, I'm quite guilty of that, too.
I like to keep that one. That's a good one. I like that. So, all right. Well, we'll play that song. We're pretty well end of our little stretch here, Gord. So we've talked about yourself. We talked about what you're doing, and a little bit about how you think would be useful to look at the faction figures, the chemical soup. I think you call it, right?
That's right. The soup of civilization.
The soup of civilization.
Yeah.
All right. So listen. Can't thank you enough, Gord, for coming out and being on the show today. It's been a long time, and just want to once again thank you for your early support and for coming out today. We had some other guests lined up, but guests are coming and going all the time. And I wanted you to be part of that show, but we're still got something. This is good. We've had a good time today. It's great.
Great job. You're a great host, Jeff. I'm happy to come back. Maybe not next week, though.
No, and I think we're all going to get...
Maybe not a year, either.
Yeah.
Okay.
it's going to be it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, too. So thanks so much, Gord.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you all next week for episode number 75 on the Agriculture Show. And we're going to go out with a song here, Eye of the Tiger, and we'll take care, enjoy the good weather, and remember, if you eat today, thank a farmer. See you next week. Thank you.